If you have comments about this show, please come to schoolsucksproject.com and post them on the episode page. I would like to get some activity going there, especially with these current event-type shows. I think it will help out the site in the long run. I did create a forum specifically for feedback for shows, but if you have feedback or comments or questions or outrage about this, then please go and post on the page for this episode. School News number 2, Too Fat to Fight. Have a good day.
They're gonna clean up your looks with all the lies in the books to make a citizen out of you. Because they sleep with a gun and keep an eye on you, son, so they can watch all the things you do. Because the drugs never work, they're gonna give you a smirk, cause they got methods of keeping you clean. They're gonna rip up your heads, your aspirations to shreds. Another cog in the murder machine. They said love.
Hi everyone, and welcome to the second installment of School News for April 21st, 2010. I returned home from work last night around 10:30 to catch the latter half of a television program that I've gotten very interested in over the last month or so. It's, I think, a documentary about the government and maybe more specifically about the Obama administration. It's called V. And aside from some strange claims like they come from space, it's actually very, very accurate, and I suggest you check it out. But after that program ended, the ABC affiliate went to their local news, and I walked out of the room. But then I heard a little teaser for a story that they had coming up later in the newscast that caught my attention. I was kind of walking back and forth into the room because I had a few other things going on around the house, and I wound up not actually hearing the story that I was waiting for, but the progression of stories that they were covering, I thought, on the news that night was very interesting. The first story was about a young man who had been killed in Afghanistan. He was a local. He lived in Fall River, Massachusetts, and he had died in some suicide attack. And the story ended by the anchor pointing out that this man had always, you know, this was the thing that he wanted to do. He had been in the ROTC program since he was 9 years old. The second story was about another young man who was being tried for murder. And the basic thrust of the story was this was somebody who had been bullied repeatedly in school, and a couple interviews with, victim's family, his family, so on and so forth. And then the story that I was waiting for, unfortunately, I never heard. The teaser, like I said, was something to the effect of, how are school lunches a threat to national security? And that caught my attention. So I went online and I started looking for some kind of news piece using those keywords, school lunch and national security, and I found this. From the Associated Press, and this Associated Press article actually has a byline, meaning some author is potentially taking accountability for what's written here. Mary Claire Jelonek, April 20th, 2010, the title, School Lunches Called a National Security Threat. Retired military officers say kids are growing up too pudgy for service. Dateline Washington. School lunches have been called many things, but a group of retired military officers is giving them a new label, National Security Threat. That's not a reference to the mystery meat served up in the cafeteria line either. The retired officers are saying that school lunches have helped make the nation's young people so fat that fewer of them can meet the military's physical fitness standards and recruitment is in jeopardy. A new report being released Tuesday says more than 9 million young adults, or 27% of all Americans ages 17 to 24, are too overweight to join the military. Now, the officers are advocating for the passage of a wide-ranging nutrition bill that aims to make the nation's school lunches healthier. The officers group, called Mission Readiness, was appearing on Capitol Hill on Tuesday with Senator Richard Lugar, R., Indiana, and Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack. The military group acknowledges that other things keep young adults out of the armed services, such as a criminal record or the lack of a high school diploma. But weight problems that have worsened in the past 15 years are now the leading medical reason that recruits are rejected. Although all branches of the military now meet or exceed recruitment goals, retired Navy Rear Admiral James Barnett Jr., a member of the officers group, says the obesity trend could affect that. When over a quarter of young adults are too fat to fight, we need to take notice, Barnett said. He noted that national security in the year 2030 is, quote, absolutely dependent on reversing child obesity rates. Recruitment isn't the only problem posed by obesity. According to the report, the government spends tens of millions of dollars every year to train replacements for service members discharged because of weight problems. This isn't the first time the military has gotten involved in the debate over school lunches. During World War II, military leaders had the opposite problem, reporting that many recruits were rejected because of stunted growth and inadequate nutrition. After the war, military leaders pushed Congress to establish the National School Lunch Program so children would grow up healthier. The program was established in 1946, quote, as a measure of national security, according to the original bill language. Today, the group is urging Congress to eliminate junk food and high-calorie beverages from schools, put more money into the school lunch program, and develop new strategies that help children develop healthier habits. The school lunch bill, currently awaiting a Senate vote, would establish healthier options for all foods in schools, including vending machine items. The legislation would spend $4.5 billion over the next 10 years for nutrition programs. The Army is already doing its part to catch the problem earlier, working with high schoolers and interested recruits to lose weight before they are eligible for service, says U.S. Army Recruiting Command's Mark Howell. He added that he had to lose 10 pounds himself before he joined the military. This is the future of our Army we are looking at when we talk about these 17 to 24-year-olds, Howell said. The sad thing is a lot of them want to join but can't. All right, so where do we start with this? You know, it was just a few shows ago that I was talking about being concerned or being afraid that I was painting this picture of America's teenagers as the clone army. I think I was talking about that on my intro to the Dennis Goddard's Capital Access interview. And I wanted to back away from language that made it sound like that was a feeling that I actually had. But, clearly here, some people are kind of looking at the school like that factory where those clone soldiers were made on Kamino, I think. I'm not sure. I'm not a huge nerd, so I don't know if that's the planet. Actually, yeah, that was the planet. Oh, I am a nerd. We clearly see that some people regard the schools as that kind of a murderer factory where these people can be made. And if you look at this news report, this local news report on the ABC affiliate in my area that I was talking about, and you just follow the progression of stories that they covered last night, the first, this guy who wanted nothing more than to be in the military winds up getting blown up in Afghanistan. This other young kid who became a murderer, according to the story, because of, bullying that he was subjected to while in school. And then the story that I missed about how American teenagers are too fat to murder people in other places. Now, I guess if there was like a tour of the factory where these people are being made, the assessment would be, you're doing a great job with self-sacrifice. You grab this kid and put him in the ROTC when he was like 8 years, 8 or 9 years old. You're doing a great job with, the irrational violence as a way of solving problems. If you could just be pumping them out a little bit thinner, that would really help us. This is really disgusting. well, in my opinion anyway, the outrage or the examination of this story from the media sounds a lot like crickets. Here's what Fox News had to say. And of course, you know, just in case anybody thinks I'm making this up, have a listen.
A group of U.S. military officers is now targeting a new enemy, your child's lunch. The group has released a new report, which indicates 27% of all young adults are too fat to join the military. That's 9 million Americans in their teens and early 20s whose weight problems prohibit them from fighting for their country. Now the officers are calling for a crackdown on America's school lunches. Jonathan Hunt's been looking into this. A crackdown on the lunches. You got a crackdown on attitudes, too.
Yeah, and it's an urgent problem, Shep. Congress has to act now to improve nutrition in schools, according to this powerful group of retired admirals and generals. And they say this is not about looking good in a uniform, but about the U.S. having a force that is fit to fight.
Our national security in the year 2030 absolutely depends on us reversing this rate of obesity.
It may sound overblown, but the statistics seem to back the admiral's claim that if we don't get a grip on the childhood obesity epidemic, our fighting forces could face a rapidly thinning field of potential recruits. Start with the national problem of obesity. In 1998, just one state, Kentucky, reported that 40% or more of its 18 to 24-year-olds were overweight or obese. By 2008, that had increased to 39 states. Now focus on the knock-on effect of that for the military. Between 1995 and 2008, the proportion of potential recruits who failed their physicals because they were overweight rose by 70%. A total of 140,000 young men and women deemed too heavy to join the military.
We have to have the best and the brightest come into the military. We can't afford really to have them, in essence, foul out or not be eligible, even when they want to join, because of something like obesity.
The specific measures the generals want taken include getting junk food and high-calorie drinks out of schools, increasing funding for healthy school lunch programs, and supporting education initiatives to help children and parents make healthier choices. If we continue on the path we are on, the retired military officers say, the majority of our young men and women will simply be too fat to fight.
Now, this is not the first time military leaders have gotten involved in the issue of school lunches. After the Second World War, they successfully fought to establish the National School Lunch Program, arguing that too many potential recruits were undernourished. Now, ironically, their complaint is that that same school lunch program has left too many, Shep, to put it politely, overnourished.
Yeah, it does happen.
Yes, how entirely ironic, Shep, that an organization with two tools at their disposal, theft and violence, would set out to solve a problem and wind up with some bizarre, perverse, unexpected, and unintended consequence. Who would have thought? But see, this is all very scientific. It actually makes a lot of sense. You need to feed your future murderers a nutritious diet as a counterbalance to the rest of their training, which is sitting still for 7 hours a day to learn obedience and conformity. Because the military could never work without that. And you know, in defense of the military, I guess these standards aren't too ridiculous. Hitler, after all, wanted everybody in the SS to be 5'10".
The boys and girls in the clique, the awful names at the stick, you're never gonna fit in much, kid. But if you're troubled and hurt, what you got under your shirt will make